AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hey, this is former Blue Devil O-lineman Matt Skura. You're listening to Basketball Conference, the ACC football podcast. Go Duke, go ACC.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Basketball Conference, the ACC football podcast. My name's Joey Weaver. He is Cam Underwood. Cam, welcome back. Pretty good day for you and the Canes. How you doing?
I'm doing great, my super friend. Yeah, man, good to be here. Glad to be back. A day I honestly didn't necessarily see coming, which we'll talk about and everything. But, you know, shout out to Will Secor, who hit me on Twitter and said, hey, you coming on Basketball Conference tonight, buddy? And kind of started greasing the wheels. And here I am, everybody. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, Cam Underwood, y'all know him, you love him. Managing editor of stateoftheu.com. All things Miami super fan, the whole thing. So a little bit of just house cleaning off the top here. Mike is slammed with work stuff for tonight, getting ready for this upcoming week. We are going to get together live tomorrow, youtube.com/@the ACC football podcast. We're going to get together tomorrow night and do the ACC championship game recap, look ahead to bowl season, kind of more of a full conference view of things. But wanted to get together tonight with Cam available, and wanted to spend some time talking about Miami's in the college football playoff.
Let's go.
Yeah. So let's get into that. Please, you know, support the sponsors. We'll do an ad read here in a little while, but youtube.com/@the ACC football podcast, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell icon. You'll be notified when we're going to go live next. It is, for the record, it is right at 11 o'clock on the East Coast on Sunday, December the 7th. We are, I guess, a little less than 12 hours removed from having found out that Miami officially will be the number 10 seed in the college football playoff. They will head to Kyle Field in College Station, Texas, to take on the Texas A&M Aggies. Hold on. We got a timer thing going on here. Get rid of that. And all right, we're good. Cam, I guess just, you know, I forget exactly when we had you on last. I think it was maybe after the Louisville loss, but before the SMU loss. Or maybe it was after the SMU loss. I can't remember. But
it was later because I second chaired that episode a couple weeks later.
Yeah.
Maybe NC State week or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. We had you on recently. Okay. Mm-hmm. The thing I wanted to go back to was I remember after the SMU loss, which was loss number two for Miami. November 1st. I was reading the good, the bad, and the ugly on stateoftheu.com, as I do after every Miami game. And in there, pretty pointedly at the end, you said, season's over. And I think the assumption at that point was you've now got two losses in the conference. You're not going to the conference title game. At that point, you're not going to be eligible for the playoff. You're probably, you know, might even lose another game down the road somewhere. Walk me through kind of just how it's felt from then until now. Like, what was your level of belief? Has it built? Have you just been in denial the whole time? Like, at what point did you really start to believe, yeah, maybe Miami could find a way to sneak into this thing?
Well, I mean, I went back to the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm pointing here to the other tab on my screen. I bookended that one after the SMU game. The first line was, season's over. And the end of the coaching grades were another bad loss as a double-digit favorite, another loss in November, another season wasted, fireball, the end. Like, that was where I was. And I say that because even when we talked preseason and we went over hypotheticals. I said, if this team with this talent and this schedule goes 10-2 and loses two conference games and doesn't go to Charlotte, it's another failure. And the College Football Playoff Committee is going to do the same thing they did last year and leave that team with that profile that wears the U at home. I said that back in June and July, guys. So after we lost that second game, I'm not even going to get into the officials in that game because my God. But after that result was final, literally, I checked out on the season. Like, I tweeted it, and I said, hey, I'm a UM alum. I run the website. I'm a fan. Like, I'm going to go to these games at home. I'm going to support this team. I want to win these games. And I think that they can go and win all four of those games. Doesn't matter. And then you see the disparate placement in the rankings of Notre Dame and Miami the whole way through, which was farcical on its face. And I'm like, oh, they're not even hinting at it. They're screaming it from the rooftops with a neon flashing sign. So, yeah, I honestly have been checked out, and I've maintained that. I've tweeted it over and over again. I put up a tweet saying 10-2, 6-2. I've quoted that again, tap sign. Want to remind you guys, like, I've been there with it. Not for to be a petulant child, because in relation to Miami, the committee has shown you the fact that they hate Miami. Like, all of the broadcasts across, especially ESPN, but every single broadcast on ABC, ESPN, 2U, ACC, SEC, every broadcast for 5 weeks has the same denigrating talking points about Miami. Come on, bro. Come on, bro. Like, nah, that came from the top. So, yeah, no, I was fully out. And then a couple teams lost yesterday. You know what I mean? Like, and then BYU got their doors blown off, and it could have been a 50-burger against them, you know, from Texas Tech.
The meme of that girl, what is it like? No.
Right. Right. Like, that. Like, that happened. I was like, eh. And I was like, no, they're still going to do that. Then Georgia blows Alabama's doors off, and I'm like, okay. And then Duke beats Virginia, and I'm like, what? And for the previous 3 weeks, Miami got exactly one supporting result that they needed to be alive for the ACC championship game. That was Pittsburgh beating Georgia Tech. Sorry. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, the supporting things that would have helped to move Miami further up the rankings in the regular season portion of the year slash towards the ACC championship game, that was the one singular result that we got that was positive for us. So, yeah, I'm like, no, that's nope. And I was telling you this before we started recording, even to the point when Alabama came up at 9, the tweet that I put out said, Alabama 9, we're dead. Because I did not believe that the committee was going to do the right thing. I thought they were going to perpetrate this malfeasance yet again and have Miami behind Notre Dame and maybe leave a BYU there, or maybe jump somebody else who didn't play this, you know, past weekend up. I was fully out until my all of my neighbors heard me when that number 10, I couldn't believe I was shocked and flabbergasted. There was like a little sliver yesterday. It was like, yeah, maybe. And then as it went on, I was like, see, I shouldn't have let y'all get my hopes up. This ain't going to happen. Nah. And hit like a lightning bolt. So that was my journey with it. I was not really, I did not have the faith, because it didn't matter that Alabama looked like boiled, you know, Wolverine doo-doo or for the last month. And not just in losing two games and not just in losing the SEC championship game, but if you look at the other games, they didn't look anywhere near as good or better than Miami. You know what I mean? Like, there was that. You know, there were, you know, the BYU being – I removed BYU at 11-1 through the regular season because they had 11 wins and you got to play to win a game. So we should have been behind them coming into conference championship game weekend. I don't think that they played a quality schedule, so I'm fine with that. But, like, I also went to Miami. But if they would have left BYU above us and said, hey, they played the schedule in front of them, they won 11 games, y'all found a way not to win 11 games, they're in front of you, that's a case to be made. And if they said that, you know what? We got to be better. We got to not lose those games. If you're doing results on the field in concrete, you know, achievements. But, yeah, that was kind of my journey with it, man. So it was It wasn't even a roller coaster. It was just like, I don't know, man. I warped through a portal or something, and all of a sudden, hey, we're in the playoffs. So let's turn this around.
Just expecting nothing, and then all of a sudden hit by a lightning bolt this morning, basically. Like, you know, out of nowhere. That's
like, I'll even put it to you like this. I had basically copied and lightly edited last year's Miami Got Some from the Playoffs piece because we had that functionality in the editorial for State of the U. So I had that, and I also had the We Made It one prepped. I was live in the We Got Left Out piece hovering over publish when that happened. And this, okay, close that window. Let's go back. Like that. That's where I was. That's how far to the terminal end of the process I was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's awesome, by the way, because like you'll remember that moment for the rest of your life, basically. Okay. Like that moment that you just never expect to happen. I will say, so you make some points about kind of the committee process that got us to this point. And I think I mostly want to focus on the Miami of it all, but like Miami is kind of in the middle of, there's a healthy talking point, and this has been yelled about for weeks in the national media, is Miami is still behind Notre Dame, who they beat outright. And they were still behind him. They're still behind him, and they're still behind him. And then this week, when neither of them play, Miami all of a sudden jumps them. And I mean, there have been countless things that Hunter Yurecek has said, that things that have come out of this committee over the last like month, that are just absolutely absurd. And the things that the circular reasoning and certain logic only applies to some teams than others. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's exhausting, and it's just, it feels like they're just going to rank teams wherever they want to rank them and then like come up with a reason for it later, which is just, it's all nonsense. I will say, and I'm curious to your thought on this. So kind of a couple things I want to talk about with the process. Number one, I think Tim Hayes here on YouTube makes a good comment. They weren't going to fully leave the ACC out. So Duke winning, and more importantly, Virginia not being in, is what put Miami in over Notre Dame. I had this exact thought earlier, is that, again, neither team played this week. Why is Miami now all of a sudden ahead of Notre Dame? Well, you left Florida State out 2 years ago. Are you really going to keep the ACC out again here, you know, for reasons that are harder and harder to explain all the time? Like,
well, I mean, that
I think there might be something to that.
There was a four-team thing, you know, back then, playoff, and it was just unfortunate that, you know, Jordan Travis snapped his leg. Like, I mean, it was just, they were not the same team. And credit to them for winning the ACC championship game and everything, but they were not the same team. And as evidenced by their failures ever since he's gone, right? You can see how much he was not even the stir of the straw of the drink, or the straw of the stir of the drink. He was the drink. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I get it in that instance. But I get that we can play that end result with this, but the process was flawed. I mean, I honestly think intentionally corrupt from beginning. Like, there should have never been the separation that there was with Notre Dame at 10 and Miami at 18 in the first rankings. There should have never been. There should have never been. And, you know, like, we beat them, A&M beat them, and credit to them for running 10 straight, right? Outside of USC and Pittsburgh, they played the dregs of the earth. Like, they played the worst team in the Big Ten, Purdue. They played the worst team in the SEC.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Arkansas. And then they played the worst three teams in the ACC, in Syracuse, Boston College, and somebody else.
Stanford.
There it is. Like, half of your wins are against the literal dregs of the earth, bro. And it's just not, I'm sorry. So, yeah, I mean, and I see y'all in the chat, you know, with that as well. So, I mean, there is a measure of the ACC not getting left out. But, I mean, it was interesting because another Canes website, they tweeted out that Jim Phillips is a Chicago Catholic and both of his personal children go to Notre Dame, and that's why he didn't do or say anything. If you think of all of the commissioners and coaches, and they even flew up Notre Dame players to Bristol, Connecticut to do the car wash on all the shows.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't Marcus on the Today Show earlier this week?
Hello!
On signing day?
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I mean, that's what they did. And, like, I mean, hey, look, good for them for the connections and everything. When is, you know, when are you going to put Malachi Toney and Reuben Bain in front of cameras and CeCe Maui Noah? You know what I mean? If we're doing this, and then Notre Dame people want to say, oh, this was only because of social media and fought in the court of public opinion. Brother, your athletic director did 4 shows. Your head coach did the Today Show and others. You had multiple players flown from South Bend to Bristol, Connecticut, and were in studio doing multiple shows. Miss me with that. Yeah. But yeah, I just think that the process was completely and totally flawed, and they got it right by having, if there was going to be one team between Notre Dame and Miami getting in this year, same record, and they played, and Miami won, it had to be Miami. And if it were reversed, 10-2, 10-2, they beat us, I would want it to be otherwise, but it would have to beat them because competition matters. The result on the field has, it's foundational to the sport. Otherwise, what are we doing?
So, just ask Vegas who to put in.
I mean, I saw there was, I think, the Irish Muse Twitter account. They quoted the score bug for our first round game, which is against Texas A&M, i.e. the We Beat Notre Dame Bowl. They screenshotted that and then said, oh, man, this is so messed up. The committee sucks. We would have beaten both of these teams. I'm like 12 out of 10 sarcasm. Like, yeah. You win the day.
Yeah, So that's the other thing I want to mention here. And I'm curious to get your reaction on this. I think the committee got it wrong.
Okay. How so?
I think they were right to put Miami in. I think they were wrong to leave Notre Dame out.
I agree.
I think Notre Dame should have probably gotten the 10. Miami should have the 9, and Alabama should be out.
I agree.
And the reason I say that, I tweeted something out. I really like going back to the thing that Dan Rubenstein has been saying for years. And he was mostly saying it in the 4-team playoff era. Was kind of mainly where it started, where you really had really limited spots. But like, as much as we don't want to penalize teams for losing on conference championship weekend, to me, it's not the what, it's the how. And we were saying this, by the way, last year in about the third quarter of the ACC championship game when Clemson is boat racing SMU, is it's like, you're not going to get left out here because you lost. You're going to get left out because you looked like garbage, you know, got blown out in a loss. And I mean, Alabama had negative rushing yards yesterday. They lost by 3 touchdowns. They had a punt blocked. Like, Ty Simpson looked terrible in that game. I understand that you didn't technically have to play in the conference championship game, and we don't want to penalize that, but like, at some point, if you don't even look competitive, what are you going to look like here in 2 weeks against a bunch of teams in that level of quality, right? Like,
yeah,
that kind of tells us you probably don't belong in the playoff. So I felt like Notre Dame should have been in. It's not that Alabama lost. It's that they looked terrible and got blown out in that game that I thought they should have been out.
Yeah, it was definitely not just like the result of losing, but like how they lost. You know,
yeah.
I agree with you. I said as much. I think like Miami and Notre Dame are very analogous peer level teams. You're splitting a hair the long way that, you know, hair I don't have anymore, but to, you know, differentiate because we beat them, but that has to take precedence. I thought the same thing. I thought like, hey, when you look at the entire resume, which is a loss by 2 scores to a 5-7 FSU in week 1, because I know people are like, oh, it's the first week of the season. Why are y'all trying to talk about y'all beating Notre Dame? Because we played a game this year. And if it were the other way, you would be doing the same thing, rightfully so, because you get those bragging rights and that because you won. But Alabama lost to has the worst loss of any playoff team by far.
Yes.
And then you look at their performances through the rest of the year, even if, I mean, they got super Houdini escape lucky against Auburn to the point where, like, people were saying that Lane Kiffin didn't take the LSU job officially because he sat there and watched the end of the Iron Bowl because what the job he really, really wants is Alabama. And he said, if they lose that, I had somebody who works in the world of college football said, so what's going to happen is they're in the fourth quarter of this game when it was either close or tied. They said, Auburn's going to win this game. Alabama's going to fire DeBoer. Another team is going to fire a coach who you don't think is going to get fired for cause.
Yeah.
And then go get DeBoer. And then Lane is going to say, screw you and you. I'm actually going to Tuscaloosa. And
yeah,
this person has given me information for a good long time and has usually been right. So there was some smoke with that fire for sure. But if you look at those performances, none of them were from Alabama. None of them were indicative of a playoff team. None.
Right.
Especially against Georgia. Like, yeah, no, I had said that. I thought it's what it should have been. But they were never – what they were not going to do was just flip Miami and Alabama and leave Notre Dame where they were. But I agree with you. I think that that was the right answer. Miami at 9 going to Oklahoma. That's a matchup that I really wanted, by the way, because we would – it wouldn't have been close, I don't think. We would have won
yeah.
that, of course.
But that would have worked well for Miami.
Yeah, and then, you know, Notre Dame at 10.
Yep. Well, and again, we got another good point from Tim Hayes, who points out the thing that I've seen pointed out a few places is we realize that everyone who lost a conference championship game yesterday dropped in the rankings except for one team. BYU dropped, Ohio State dropped, Virginia dropped, like all of it. And yet one team still sits in the exact position they needed to be.
Yeah.
So,
but I mean, like it was a bitter pill for them to swallow last year for Clemson stealing a bid and leaving, because had Clemson not stolen that bid, what was going to happen was Alabama was going to jump Miami at 9-3, because that was the comparison they were making all year, even though Miami was more analogous to a 10-2, you know, Tennessee team that made the playoffs with Nico Iemaliava, but whatever, but they were going to jump them up, leave us out and just say tough cookies. Then they stole that bid. So then the bid that they stole wasn't ours, because we weren't going to get it last year. It was Alabama's. So then, faced with the prospect of leaving them out again, they said, what we're not going to do is that. So, and it, again, they just contorted themselves into any way to justify shenanigans. But like, and I know like Notre Dame wants to center Miami as though like, it's my fault or Mario Cristobal's fault that the committee got it wrong for 6 weeks and then got it right. We like, I had no efficacy. Like I had never spoke to anybody. I had never spoken to anybody on the committee. So why are you mad at me? Why are you coming to me on Twitter, bro, for advocating for my team by not putting your team down, by saying these are the things that we did. That's it all year long. Well, if you want to look at common opponents, we had four of them. Miami won those games by a higher margin. If you want to look at head-to-head, this. And they dug deep on every single advanced metric known to man and even some new ones. Okay, those numbers favor Notre Dame. Cool, but I'm not sitting here and putting them down. I was advocating for myself, you know? And it's not it's the committee that they should be mad at, not us. But, like, yeah, I honestly and truly, I agree with you. They should have been in, and Alabama should be sitting at home, you know, sucking on a pine cone or whatever, but such is life.
Yeah. Well, and this is where you get some of the arguments about, you know, should we be doing weekly rankings or not? You know, we don't really have these types of discussions about the NCAA tournament committee because they only do it once. And then, you know, either you like it or you don't and you move on. But
and they leak a little bit of stuff to the bracketologists so you can see a little bit of what they're thinking. But yeah, no, like it's, everything's made up and the points don't matter. Like, just it's whose line is it anyway?
Whose line, ratings
on a Tuesday against or in the halftime of action or the beginning of the college basketball season, either between games or halftime or whatever. We want eyes, you know, the ESPN is such a foothold in this, you know, sport. They just want viewers and ratings and everything. And I mean, do I write about it at State of the U? Yeah, because do those pieces do numbers? Absolutely. But like, yeah, no, it's all made up and the points don't matter. And then at the end, they're going to do what they're going to do. And they're going to, again, to your earlier point, even in the same show, they will say contradictory things. Oregon gets credit for beating Penn State when James Franklin was there and they were ranked in the top five. Even though they fell off a cliff and they looked terrible, they get full credit for beating a top five team when that happened. But this other team, there, you know, who was it? It was
Georgia Tech beat like a top 10 Clemson team.
That's exactly who it was. But Clemson's not perform. Oh, well, no, their performance has actually gone down and everything. So they're not going to get the, but you just said, you know, yeah. So yeah, it's super selective and, you know, it just, you know, it's super corrupt, but whatever. Also, yep. Hi, Will. I see you in the chat, buddy.
Yeah. Will Secor with us. Said he's catching up here. He started a few minutes late and is watching on super speed. So you can only imagine what I sound like on there. Cam, do you want to talk a little bit about the actual matchup that Miami now has in front of them here in a couple of weeks? Let's do that. But first, let's remind the people, this show is brought to you by Section103.com. It is the internet's premier place for all things wonderful Clemson apparel, it turns out. Clemson, now in the Section 103 family as of very recently. Okay. They have a whole bunch of unique shirt designs based on Clemson traditions. You know, Howard's Rock, the Clemson Blue Cheese, the Cadence Count, lots of those things. Go check them all out. They're super high quality, super soft, just like all of their other schools that they have apparel for. Section103.com. They got polos, they got hats, they got stickers, things for men, women, and children. Go find it all. Section103.com. Use promo code GOACC at checkout for 10% off your first order. If it's anything like this hat that I'm wearing or anything like this Feliz Bobby Dodge shirt that I'm wearing from them, you're going to love your Clemson stuff from Section103.com. So go check them out. Support Steven. Appreciate it. They're really great for gifts this time of year, by the way, as you know, we're coming up quickly on you know, some big gift-giving days, we'll say. Don't look now, but it's like 18 days till Christmas. So hurry up. Section103.com. Use promo code GOACC at checkout for 10% off your first order. Clemson, also Georgia Tech, obviously, but then also LSU, Kennesaw State, Georgia Southern. Kennesaw State just finished off a 10-win season. Look at them.
Mm-hmm. And re-signing their coach.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Shout out to Steven and the gang. Appreciate them for their support. Cam, we're going to come back later on this show, here in a week or so. I don't know when, we'll figure it out, and we'll do, you know, maybe a little bit more of an in-depth preview, but while we've got you here, on December 20th at noon on ABC, we have the number 10 Miami Hurricanes on the road in College Station, taking on the number 7 Texas A&M Aggies. Miami currently a 4-point underdog here, totals 51.5. My initial reaction there is, I think that's a pretty reasonable line. I mean, I think maybe A&M slightly better on a neutral field, maybe, but like, you know, put a home field advantage on it. I think this is a pretty reasonable number. What's your initial reaction, your initial thought on this matchup for Miami going against the Aggies on the road?
Yeah, opened at 3.5. I saw it back around there. But I mean, yeah, 3.5, 4. I think that's a reasonable line. I think that these are very comparable teams. They recruit to a very similar level. We have, you know, very similar levels of talent and size along the lines. You know, Miami has transitioned under Mario Cristobal from being this undersized, quickness-based program that we've been, you know, the whole way ever since Howard Schnellenberger on. You know, we've always been that. Just a little smaller, but, you know, tenacious and quick and fast, and we'll beat you to the spot. We do have some of that same speed, but we also have prototypical size in the trenches now, which we've never had. And that matches up well with Texas A&M. You know, I think that obviously their quarterback can run more and better than ours. But ours, you know, when he's on, is accurate and decisive with the ball. Skill players are very similar. You know, KC Concepcion for them, Malachi Toney for us, you know, like insert defensive lineman for them, Ruben Bain, Akeem Mesidor, and David Blay for us. You know, it's a very, you know, Spider-Man looking at Spider-Man kind of matchup. You know, you got these tough dude coaches, one a defensive guy in Elko, and then the offensive lineman in Cristobal. They've taken on the mentality, you know, of their coaches. They're built really, really well from a recruiting standpoint. The foundation being high school recruiting and developing massive human beings, and then sprinkling in some transfer guys like Concepcion for them and others. But yeah, this is a really even matchup. This is the third time we will have played them in the last 5 years, I want to say. We went out there to, there was a home and home that we had against them recently. Post-COVID, so
I think,
yeah, post COVID. Okay. It was.
Was that during Cristobal? I think did Cristobal coach him both times?
Uh-huh. Yeah. We went 22, and then they came back with Connor Wegman in 23. So,
Okay.
You know, so this is the third time in 4 years that we will have played them and everything. So, yeah, you know, a little bit of familiarity with them. But, yeah, this is a, you know, a clash of titans. I think that, you know, depending on how things go, like this is very much a winnable game. So I'm just going to put that out there. You know, but yeah, this is going to be, we were talking before we hit record. This is my top game of the first round. You know what I mean? I would put
it'll be the best watch on TV, I think.
Exactly. I'll put us first, then the OU Alabama rematch two, and then the drubbing of baby seals known as the G5 games afterwards. But like, yeah, I think that this is the closest and most competitive game. And best watch of the first round. So, yeah, definitely some, they do some interesting things that we're going to have to combat, and we do some things that they're going to have to combat. And it really comes down to execution, turnovers, penalties, you know, those kind of things. But yeah, it could really go either way. I mean, for Miami alum Cam, I would love it if it was under three. You know what I mean? If it was Miami plus 2.5, so just under that normal home field bump, just something around. But, I mean, I'm fine with, you know, 3, 3.5, 4. Yeah, I'm good with it.
Yeah, it makes sense. One of the things that does stick out to me about this matchup is the quarterbacks on either side, that both of them seem like high ceiling, low floor kind of guys just on any given Saturday. Like, either one of them can have a really great afternoon, and either one of them is capable of making a lot of bad mistakes in a game. So that's something I'm going to be curious to watch. I know Carson Beck, with a little bit more experience under his belt than Marcel Reed has. The other thing that comes to mind is this is among the most hostile environment that Miami could be going into for a game like this.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest stadium in the country. It will be packed out at like 108,000 people probably in the building for that game. So that'll be something that Carson Beck is and that offense especially are having to contend against. That I don't know if they would see something quite like that going to, I don't know, if somehow they'd played at Texas Tech in Lubbock. Like, that's a totally different situation, right? Or,
yeah.
You know. Even in Norman against Oklahoma, I don't think it's quite that bad. So, something to think about.
Yeah, I mean, there is, but look, you just got to focus on the field and on your job. Michigan's still the largest stadium, by the way. Go Blue! But I mean, it's built into a hill, and they can continue to put two or three more expansions up. I remember hearing that from an engineering friend of mine, when I was younger, and they finally did one of those. So. Yeah, that's beside the point. But I mean, it'll be, look, 110,000 people, you know, those psychopaths out there screaming and yelling and everything. Like, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a challenge. But like, we also went to the Swamp last year, 41-17 in the opener. It should have been worse than that. We went to Tallahassee this year. Bombs over Baghdad, finally. We had no explosive plays all year till we got there. And they were in full throat, trust. It was loud. Like, you could hear it through the TV. I mean, and we've gone – I mean, I know that they were down and they'd already fired their coach. But you go to Lane Stadium for a nooner, that's not an easy place to go play. You know, we've had seasons die horrible deaths. Well, really, one, because they've only beaten us in Pittsburgh one time. But the 2017 undefeated season died a horrible death there. You got to go and do that. You know, so, like, Yeah, we've been to those places. It's funny, Carson Beck has not played at Texas A&M. He's played at like almost every other stadium in the SEC from his time at Georgia. But yeah, it'll be a challenge, but I think the bigger challenge is really on the field. Like, you know, Mario Cristobal is very good at getting this team to focus, you know, not listening to the noise, not focusing on fans or anything. Hey, whatever. We love being here, and we're just going to try to beat the guy across from us. Anas Cooper, starting right guard for 4 years, said he's like, we love away games. I love the energy. I love the yelling. I love that. We can go on silent cadence because we've been working on that as offensive linemen our entire life. But, like, yo, I love that energy, and I love it at Hard Rock when it gets loud in there also. So, yeah, that's not going to be – I don't think it's going to be a thing that's really going to deter us much. But, I mean, it's going to be a great environment for sure.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. And, I mean, if the scenes that we saw last year in the first round playoff games, getting those on home campuses, I mean, if it's anything like that, you have to imagine that'll be a really good watch and a yeah. pretty exciting environment to play in. I mean, just overall, your thought, I kind of like Miami in this spot. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and like guarantee you, like, you know, bet it like the game's already been played that they're going to win. Mm-hmm. But like, I kind of like their chances here in this matchup. And again, with this quarterback battle and just like we said, I think they feel like pretty even teams, and yet there's just an extra level of like kind of a veteran presence, I think, with Miami that I really like, and a little bit more of an established program under Cristobal than A&M, who's in year two under Elko, I believe. Mm-hmm. I like this spot for Miami, Cam.
I do also. You know, this is what we've been building for. You know, this is why we went through. This is why we unceremoniously kicked out Manny Diaz, despite the entire roster at the time advocating to keep him. Said, we have higher aspirations than this. And, you know, he talked his game, and congratulations to Duke for winning the ACC championship game. Joey, what was their record before that game?
7-5.
That's why he's not here. You know, he's like, well, you know, we wanted to win it at our last place, but, you know, this feels like we just had to be in the right play. Da, 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 da. You got the benefit of the worst tiebreakers in history to go there and play a not very talented team, to be perfectly honest. And had Miami been there, we would have boat raced either team. I'm very confident in that. But you see, yeah, a 7-5 team, like regular season team, that's why he's not here. And what we have now in terms of who's on the roster and how they're playing, this was the vision for why we got rid of Manny Diaz. And we brought in Mario Cristobal and suffered through 5-7, suffered through the Georgia Tech loss, trying to get Donald Chaney 100 yards for the first time in his career when he was down. And they called a fumble just like it was Cleveland Gary in 1988. And you had Matt Lee on the sideline screaming and crying, and they had a camera in his face talking about what the F are we doing here instead of taking a knee. All of that led us here, you know? Yep. So we've been following the yellow brick road, and finally we've made it to Oz. So it's not the top of the mountain, and there's still work to be done, but I'm also going to enjoy the fact of the new level of achievement. You know, it's like I'm playing a video game. New achievement unlocked. Great. Last year, the achievement unlocked was 10 wins. This year, the achievement unlocked is in the playoffs. So, yeah, we have the kind of talent on the roster that can compete for a national championship. Now, it is a tough road to hoe because mm-hmm. you got to go through Texas A&M, who's built the same as y'all. Then, when we win that, we have to go to the Cotton Bowl and play my biggest nemesis of life, the Acorns from the state south of Michigan.
Them Buckeyes. Yep.
Then when we win that, you win the winner from the other quarter, which is probably going to be Georgia. Like, yep. And then you would play probably the winner of the Indiana half of the bracket in the championship game. So like
probably Indiana or Oregon. Yeah.
Most likely. Right. So it is not an easy, I'm not saying we're going to skate. But even if, like, regardless of any outcome from here on out, making it to the playoffs is a new achievement unlocked, is a new level of just, you know, stature of the program. and emblematic of a step forward and a positive season. And I want to say that now on December the 7th, regardless of what comes, whether we get to the championship game or whether we lay an egg on the 20th and it's one and done, regardless of result, this is still positive growth and I love it.
Okay, so on that, I want to ask, this is my last question, and then I do have one more thing I want to mention before we get out of here. But
let's go.
Question, and that's, you're kind of alluding to the answer here, I think, but I think this is still a season where you can, if you're a Miami fan or if you're trying to diagnose whether this is a successful season for Miami, you can still kind of see what you want to see, I think, because yes, they're in the playoff, and that's kind of where you set your goals to begin the year, but they still didn't play for the ACC championship game. They still lost twice in conference, and so is there any like, are you torn at all? It doesn't sound like you are. It sounds like we made the playoff, all that, nothing else really matters. We did what we had to do to get there, and it to some degree, it's a little bit to me, Cam, like it speaks to the way that this sport is devaluing conference championship games, bowl games, like things that 10 years ago, we'd talk a lot about how much they mattered. It feels like if we're just saying, hey, we got the playoff, that's what matters, then is that how you're feeling, is what I'm asking?
Not fully. I mean, in the moment, like I'm super elated that we are going to the college football playoffs. There's still nits to pick, and I'm good at picking the nits. But what I'm not going to do is let perfect be the enemy of good or perfect be the enemy of very good. It's not perfect. It's not. Like, I've been consistent through the season. There were way too many procedural offensive line penalties, false starts, illegal procedure type things. Not going to get to the holdings, but there were too many of those. I was very critical of those. I was very critical of other things. I'm very critical of the losses. Carson Beck played his two worst games of his career. Against Florida, which we won, but not really riding that. And he just threw another interception to Louisville. You know what I mean? Like, those were, no, unacceptable. And then the SMU game, I thought we played well enough to win. I thought SMU did some things, but there were several egregious, fireable referee calls and decisions in that game. And for me, I don't know that this allegory exists. I needed Mario to get a technical foul there. You know what I mean? I need him to call the timeout and be halfway to the free throw line screaming at Teddy Valentine. I needed that in one of those moments.
Yeah.
But if you go off in football, it's a 15-yard penalty. But I wanted to see more of that. And then at the end, it's like, well, these calls were really bad. And it cost us the game. So where was that energy? You slamming your fist on the podium. Where was that in the moment, bro?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I needed some of that. We talked about some of the drive stalling. We talked about leaving points on the field. What was the main – well, I'll tell you. One of the main talking points for Notre Dame was, oh, well, Miami won that game only by a field goal late. We kicked their teeth in.
That was a comeback for Notre Dame.
Like, right. But – the scoreboard looked close. So if you're a scoreboard watcher at the end of the year, you can make that game into a hard-fought battle for 60 minutes, and Miami kicked a field goal at the last second. That was absolutely what that game was not, but we went a little too conservative, and we left points on the field, and you blow three coverages on two drives, and all of a sudden it's tied at 21. So, and there's that, and there's more about just – you know, who was playing and what the playing issues were. And the trust, when we go to our postseason postmortems, stateleader.com, and we dig into these things, there are plenty of nits to pick, and I will pick them. But I'm not going to let that have me hate the other massive progress on the top line that we are seeing.
Yeah. That's fair. And like, I'm not sitting here trying to say, oh, it's a failure of a season or whatever because you didn't make it to Charlotte. Like, that's not the idea. But I'm just trying to.
It is a measure, though, I think.
I have to imagine there's just mixed feelings there, right? It's like, we did kind of accomplish the goal, but not really in the way that we wanted to. So it's, you know, I don't know. It's kind of an Kind of an odd thing that way, I figure. Yeah.
But I mean, also, it's exactly what we talked about when I was here preseason. If you go 6-2 and you lose in the conference and you lose two games, where are two good losses? Like, where are two teams that, like, if you play head up back and forth, where are two losses? You're like, you know what? Okay, none. Why? Because we're the most talented team in the conference. So you're not going to lose two games by playing your best football. Something will have gone awry, you know? And like, this is literally the manifestation of that. So, like, yeah, there are still issues and everything. But the top line is we've taken a big step towards our number one goal, national championship. So, yeah, that is positive. And I'm not diving into the nitty gritty, the granular of, okay, the other things right now, but those do exist. And yeah, you know, to Tim Hayes's point, before you call teams untalented, like how many championships, you know what, there's no other team in the conference that has as much talent as Miami. That's just objective fact. So
talent isn't everything. Right. The reason we play the games, you know.
Clearly, like you saw, like mine, would Louisville trade like their whole lineup, their whole program for Miami right now? Yes.
Probably.
Would SMU? Well, they take our casts off anyway, so why would they not? You know what I mean? But like, if you go up and down, with the exception of Notre Dame and maybe Florida, but I would still say we have more talent than Florida, but it's analogous. But like everybody else, if Golish was there at USF, absolutely. Bethune-Cookman, absolutely. You go down the rest of the list, Florida State, who doesn't recruit at all, absolutely. Boom, boom, boom. On and on and on down the list. NC State, where they take our cast-offs, like CJ Bailey, who we didn't even recruit, is their star quarterback. Absolutely, they would trade their entire program roster for Miami's. It just now is incumbent upon Miami to play like that every single week and not have these lulls. But yeah, this is where we are with it. So yeah.
Yep. Last thing I have for you, Cam, and it's not really a question. I guess like it's a little bit of a question. Have you, and this is a little bit tangential to the whole thing.
Okay.
Have we considered the culture clash of these two fan bases that we're about to see here in a couple of weeks?
I mean, we have, because we've done this twice in the previous, you know, couple of years.
I guess that's true. Yeah, you know, so put it that way. But
it was on our micro, like, you know, in our insular scale of like Miami and Texas A&M for those meetings. But yeah, we've done it. But now that's going to be shown wide. It's going to be like, yeah, these are not at all the same. Yeah, it's going to be, big different. But from all the people that I know who went out there for that game, they said that, you know, the Texas A&M people were very hospitable and whatnot. Sure made, you know, a little bit more hospitable because they won that game in 2022 out in their barn. But yeah, we are looking forward to it. And yeah, it'll be a little bit of a culture shock for both sides for sure.
I was going to say, so what I will say is living in Houston, I'm about an hour and a half away from Kyle Field where I am right now.
Okay.
And my first company I worked with out of college, tons of Aggies worked there. It was founded by Aggies. Like, I got pretty quick exposure to the whole Texas A&M culture experience right out of college. And coming in, it's like, I didn't really know, you know, I knew about the logo. I knew about their football stadium, like, you know, basic football things, but had no idea some of the traditions that they participate in. And I will just tell you, if you're a Miami fan and you are going to go to this game, just be ready, because it is going to be pretty unlike any other environment you've ever been in. And not anything to do with excitement, but just the behaviors that you will come across from people around and in that stadium are unique, we will say, and very unique.
I mean, hey, we've seen the in-stadium police have their own Twitter, you know, so they're posting the drunken chronicles and everything. So, it'll be very interesting. But yeah, definitely not the same sabor as South Florida or anything. So yeah, it'll be very different.
I was going to say, and for that matter, I mean, the area around the stadium, I mean, Miami, you're basically in the middle of a major city. College Station, you're an hour and a half drive from a nearby airport. You know, like it's out there. And College Station, Brian, is not like nothing, but it's kind of in the middle of nowhere. You got to drive out into the sticks to get there. So it's, again, it's a little bit of a culture clash for me on a number of different levels that it'll be a little bit amusing to watch. And I would love to hear any field reports we get from fans who do end up making that trip and see or hear some things they hadn't seen before.
I know people who are going, so I'll definitely check in with them and everything. So yeah, I mean, look, it'll be a great environment, a great experience, and honestly, it's just like it feels like you're playing with house money now. I'm not saying that we're just trying to pat Narduzzi and say, hey, if we lose 110-3, it'll be fine. No, we're going with the intent to win, and we believe that we can win. But yeah, it'll be lively for sure. I know, even though it's a 11 a.m. Central Time kick, noon Eastern on the 20th, like we'll be ready to go. And I guess they wanted to get the best ratings in the window that they could, because there's probably NFL football and or basketball later in the day. So they said, hey, let's get this. The Friday night game is Oklahoma Alabama. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So. Yeah. You get the SEC conference game on Friday night, and then boom, this next game, boom, in there. And then the other two games, they're not going to do big ratings anyway. So whatever. But yeah, no, really excited, to be able to talk about a team in the playoffs and see where we go, from here.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm looking forward to this game. It should be a fun one. And obviously a lot more content coming y'all's way here in the next couple of weeks. Getting you ready for it. Cam, this has been awesome. Really appreciate your time here tonight. Anything else for the people before we work on getting out of here?
No, man. Just first of all, thank you for listening and watching and everything. Joey, thank you for having me. Check out stateoftheu.com. We had National Signing Day on Wednesday, and Miami signed 30 players. And as annual tradition, I wrote an individual bespoke notebook for each and every player. So that story stream from signing day is up. Our college football playoff story stream is up with several pieces as well, with the kickoff time, with the line, the piece, that I was talking about that I wasn't going to post because I was in the We Got Snub post about us making it and all of that and plenty more. So, yeah, we're really excited to be there for you all and everybody. And, yeah, I'll definitely check back in with, Joey and the Super Friends another time soon.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Always fun having you on, Cam. Stateoftheu.com, as the people know, go find that for all of your Miami football recruiting and other sports coverage there as well. So go check them out.
Basketball as well. You know it.
That's right. That's right. At the State of the U on Twitter, right?
Yes, sir. Okay,
there you go. And at Underwood Sports there for Cam. So go find him there. We're going to get out of here, Cam, and we will come back here and kind of keep the people getting ready. But again, appreciate you coming on for a bit of a short show, but wanted to make sure we talked about the day that was for Miami, a huge day as they get into the college football playoff. We're going to get out of here again. Spotify, Apple, Amazon, wherever you go find your audio podcast, youtube.com/@theaccfootballpodcast. Shout out to all the people in the chat with us tonight. That was fun. Good crowd here. Please hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. Mike and I are going to go live probably tomorrow to recap the ACC championship game, talk about all the other bowl matchups we have for the ACC, lots of other things conference-wide. So please tune in then. We'd love to have you back. Otherwise, basketballconferencepodcast@gmail.com is the email address. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think that's all I got, Cam.
So, sounds good, man. So, we'll check you guys soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Cam. You're the best. We appreciate it as always, and we'll talk again soon. How's that?
Sounds good, man.
All right. Well, until next time, for Mr. Cam Underwood, I'm Joey Weaver. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll talk to you again very, very soon. Until then, go Canes and go ACC.
That's right, go Canes.